Hello, hello, everyone. Blessings. Amanda Grace here with you. We are live. Yep, July 24th, 2024. And somebody called the Guinness Book of World Records because that was the shortest exit speech I have ever seen. I think it was about 11 minutes. Yeah, people are writing, let's rumble. Yes, yes, that's what we're going to do, basically. But that was the shortest speech I've ever seen for an exit out of the highest office in the land. And we will get into that. So hello to everybody jumping on the United States and around the world right now. We're so happy to have you with us. Let's pray Sadie stays on that chair back there because I've had to take her off the desk twice already tonight. And let's just all pray for that corporately. Oh, hello to those Michigan, Newark, New Jersey. Oh, to our neighbors, New Jersey. Hello, Canada. Hello to our neighbors in Canada. Oklahoma. Hello, hello. Finger Lakes, New York. Hello to our friends in New York. Connecticut, our neighbors in Connecticut are here. Kansas City. Oh, California. Hello, another Canada. So we're very happy to have all of you. Philippines. Someone's here from the Philippines. Wow. Welcome, welcome to you. South Africa. I see South Africa too. Guatemala. Wow, you guys are all coming in time. You must have been watching across the globe this exit speech. So hello, hello to our moderators too and our Ark of Grace team who jumped on with me tonight. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So we just, we're going to open up in prayer. I have one brief announcement and we're going to talk about the shortest exit speech in history that we just occurred. It's a watch occurred in the United States of America. So let's just open up in prayer first and give this over to the Lord so he helps control my mouth tonight after everything that has been going on. Bye, Sadie. I'm sure she'll be back too. The dogs are around, so you may see them come in as well. The birds are asleep, so I couldn't bring Chet in tonight, but I will be bringing him in soon. So let's open up in prayer here. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. We fall short every single day. And that is why we need your son, Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach came to the earth, was the word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you. He rose again in 3 days, miraculously ascended back into heaven, took his victorious rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we invite your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to fill this place, Lord, that your presence would move, your power would go forth, your word would go out ahead tonight, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We bless your holy name. Let your name be glorified above all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Okay, amen. Hello to those of you who were jumping on during prayer. I especially think tonight we should open up in prayer. I think that all the time, but I definitely think tonight we have to open up in prayer. So let me make this one quick announcement, right? So we'll put up the George Magazine cover first, and then we'll show the event. But yes, I somehow ended up on the cover of George Magazine this month, and I praise the Lord, and it is an honor, and I appreciate that they asked me to be on the cover, and I'm very grateful for that. So it is out now at georgeonline.com. I believe you can go purchase it, and I will be at their event in August. So the George Magazine live event, I will be speaking there August 10th and 11th. The event is in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So you could go to georgemagazinelive.com if you would like to get tickets for that. And that's all the announcements we are doing tonight, because we are about to jump right in to what we have just witnessed. So I don't know if you could get the clip up for me, if our team can, of what he said, that part about the soul, because I want to play that clip. That is the crux of this whole speech, this whole battle, this whole election, this whole historic time period. So, like I said, somebody call Guinness World Records, because that was the shortest exit speech for a president that we have ever witnessed. It was about 11 minutes. You know, they said he was recovering from C-19, but he looked like he had a spray tan and he was ready to go, because his hands were much darker than his face. And I don't know if the rest of you noticed that, but Mr. Biden's hands were much darker than his face. Now, I don't know if that's normal. I don't know if this was pre-filmed. I don't know if this was filmed a month ago or 2 months ago, and they had it waiting in the wings just in case plan A, right? Unaliving people didn't work. And so they had this maybe already done and made and waiting in the wings, because he looks like he's all spray tanned up and he's in a suit. And I thought he had to go back to recover from C-19 in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. So I'm a little suspicious about when this was filmed. I'm not too sure this was live tonight. I'm really, really. You know, wondering, people are saying AI in the chat, that they're wondering if this was truly AI, because there was no audience, and there was no, you know, no, you didn't see any people, you didn't see anyone. It was just him sitting at the desk in the Oval Office. So I did not think this was going to be a long speech. In fact, I was on with Clay Clark today. He's going to be putting that interview out. And he asked me, and I had said, I believe this is going to be a short speech. I believe I had said that this was, I said it to our team too, that this was not going to be a long speech, that this wasn't going to be something that was drug on, that because Joe was forced out, this speech was not going to be anything of depth or anything of length. And so, you know, basically, there was no depth and there was no length to it, except there was one part that is the crux of this whole speech that I want to talk about. I also have to talk about a dream I had, not last night, but the night before, that I've been sitting on and praying, because I'll tell you why in a moment. But if just let me know if we have that, or if we can get that, and just give me the thumbs up and we'll play it. But he goes back to this soul of the nation, right? Now, the significance of him saying that is the battle for the soul of the nation speech that Joe originally gave right before the midterms in 2022 was delivered from Pennsylvania, the very place where they attempted to assassinate President Trump. The soul of the nation speech was delivered. So it's interesting that that is brought back into the forefront and to the remembrance of people because of the state in which he gave this speech, the initial battle for the soul of the nation. This is a battle for the soul of the nation, because the corrupt and the wicked and the most unsavory of men and women want to bind it up in chains, enslave it, put it in bondage, and put it in the tomb of Sodom and leave it there. That's what they want to do with the soul of America. They want to destroy it. They want to fracture it into thousands of pieces so it can never, ever come together again. This is what they want to do. And so the fact they keep bringing this up, this is like what the late prophet Kim Clement would say, right words, wrong breath. The words are right. The breath absolutely stinks like sulfur. Honestly, it does. Right words, wrong breath. It is not coming from a godly place. It is not coming from a place of reverence. It is not coming from a place of truth. Okay? This is coming from a place of deceptiveness, from a deceptive spirit, from a lying spirit. What the lying spirit is saying is true. It is a battle for the soul of the nation, except the source of who's saying that is the one that wants to enslave the nation. And so we have to remember us. Yep, right words, wrong breath. This is exactly what this was. So what I can do while they're looking for that, because I want you to hear him say this, because it is so, so important right now that you actually hear what this man said, or whoever this was, in their own words. So then you are literally hearing it from the horse's mouth, no pun intended. So let me get up here. And I have so many documents up. I have to tell you, it's quite hilarious, the amount of documents I have up right now. But we have a news article that shows he tested positive for C-19 at a pivotal point in the election. So this breaks days ago or so. So basically, Joe got C-19 after the assassination attempt failed. All right, this is the timeline of events here. So he gets C-19 after the assassination attempt fails. And it says it disrupted key campaign events, and that was meant to shore up Latino voters, and that he was experiencing mild symptoms and received his first dose of the antiviral drug Paxlovid, according to his doctor, and that he was self-isolating in Delaware. Now, the amount of time between when he got C-19 and now is not 10 days, I believe. So I don't know how he came out of self-isolation and got himself back to the Oval Office to do this speech. Because if he's self-isolating, it has to be at the very minimum, according to, you know, the corrupt rules that were made, 5 days, right? At the very minimum. So that's a little suspect. But I'm going to take you back to 2021, to a dream I had right when Biden took office. So right when he takes office, the Lord gives me this dream. And it was 2021, January. And I saw in the dream, it was a room. It was a bedroom. It was a bedroom that had no defining characteristics to it. There wasn't pictures on the wall. The bed was very plain. The furniture was very plain. So no defining markings in the bedroom. And there's obviously a bed there. And Joe Biden is in that bed, and he is very, very ill. And I'm facing the bed. So to my right, at the head of the bed, is Obama at his bedside. Biden's family was nowhere to be found. He appeared very unwell, and there was 3 different pairs of shoes on the floor that could have possibly represented 3 former leaders. They were all different styles of shoes. Obama was at the bedside, dressed in a very nice suit and ready, excited at the condition of Biden. There was a crowd of Middle Eastern people dressed in their garb, gathered around the bed, waiting as well, potentially representing different countries in cahoots, including Iran. It was uncovered that Iran had a plot to assassinate President Trump, too. So these Middle Eastern people represented, you know, most likely different Middle Eastern countries. And there was a, and they were dressed like they were high up. You know what I mean? Like high up leaders, things of that nature. And on the bed was a piece of apricot candy known as Turkish Delight. And in the Muslim world and in the Middle Eastern world, when you're going to celebrate a victory, or a profound death that's a victory, they pass out candy. Okay. So this piece of candy is on the bed, and I end up in the dream fighting through that crowd, typical Italian Bronx woman, right? I end up just pushing my way and fighting through the crowd, and I reached with my hand and I snatched the candy off the bed away from them, and I ate it so they couldn't have it. Now that candy represented a celebration of victory, right? As is prevalent in the Middle Eastern culture, and it was snatched away from them. And what I represented in that dream was we the people fighting through and rising up. And I also represented the prophetic, rising up and being utilized by God, right, to take that victory away from them. This dream was over 3 years ago. It was almost 4 years ago. It was about 3.5 years ago. I have this dream just as he's taking office. And so when he gets sick with C-19 and all this begins to unfold, this dream that was from over 3.5 years ago gets set into motion, right? Now, do not be surprised if you hear in the next month, we'll say, or so, that somebody has passed on. Do not be surprised if this is the next thing that happens in this very convoluted chain of events that is literally occurring before our very eyes. And I'm going to read this little excerpt from May 6, 2024, because you're going to understand why. And then I'll talk about the dream from the other night. A very capital hard twist is coming in this hour to your nation. Roots must be given a hard twist and pulled up, says the Lord, for it hides in the depths, that's capitalized, and the root system is set to be laid bare and exposed before the people. As this occurs, you shall see falls in the seat of governorship down the East Coast. As this occurs, you shall see an event that sifts California and Michigan. And then in the word, it says Delaware shall rise up as the firstborn of your nation and bring a just charge against the one who sits in the seat of president, who has smeared their state. Now, where did he go to recover? Delaware. Where did he go when he got C-19? Delaware. Where did he decide that he was or been forced to step aside? Delaware. So this was May 6, 2024. Now, let me just make sure I can talk about this. Lord, can I talk about this? Is this okay to talk about? Okay. So, not last night, but the night before, I have a dream. And I learned this from a friend, where he would say, Lord, if I'm your friend, please give me a dream. And I learned this from somebody. And so 2 nights ago, I say, Lord, if I'm your friend, please give me a dream. And I had, it was two parts. The first part had to do with me and things going on, but the second part had to do with the nation. Okay, so I'm gonna just address the second part. Okay, I can address the second part. Okay, all right, good. Okay, I felt the release for that. I can address the second part and not the first part. Okay, so I was in a room. So in the dream, I'm in a room. It has no windows. It has no pictures. It is as bland as can be. It is dimly lit. There is nothing to find. It almost looked like a safe house. That's what it looked like. And in the middle of the room was a round wooden table, small round wooden table with two chairs only. Two wooden chairs, small round wooden table. I'm in the corner observing. I don't even know if they knew I was in the room. And facing me at that table was Barack Obama. And I believe he was dressed in a gray suit. And I was zoomed in on his face, and his face was so hardened and determined. And there was somebody that was sitting with him, and their back was to me. But the lighting in the room, I was able to see the silhouette of the person. And that person was Hillary Clinton. And it was only the two of them in this room. There was no phone. There was nothing on the table. There was nothing on the walls. It was an inner room with no windows, with one round wooden table and two chairs. And the two of them were in this room having a discussion. Now, I had this two nights ago. Now, I have had very few dreams with the two of them in it. I mean, I could count on one hand, you know, as many times as I've dreamt about these two. But they were together and they were in some sort of safe house and they were in some sort of meeting. And I could tell by the lighting that it was her because of her hair. It looked to be her anyway, from the back. It looked to be, you know, the silhouette of what she would look like from the back. Now, this could be the silhouette of somebody else. And I'm going to say that if this was indeed the silhouette of a man, this would be a Gavin Newsom type. But I believe it was the silhouette of a woman and it was the silhouette of Hillary Clinton. And so I just observed because they were having a meeting and I couldn't hear what they said, but this meeting did happen. And we're watching these events unfold in the midst of this. So I just wanted to share that. Yes, it was a pantsuit. Yes, they were wearing a pantsuit. So yes, absolutely. That I was able to see. I was able to see the style of the hair, right? And it almost looked more styled, like when she almost had it slicked back and a little shorter. That's how it looked. And he just had a stone cold look on his face. His eyes were almost black. He looked very, very hardened, very like he had been through quite a bit. He looked slightly almost war-torn in his face. So basically, I'm praying about this, and I'm just telling you, I could just tell you what I saw. The walls were a sand color. It almost looked like the sand in the Middle East. This is how I could best describe it. It looked like the sand in the Middle East, the colors of the wall. And it was very dreary, and there was no natural light in there. So it was like a safe inner room that had nothing in it but this round table and these two chairs and them in it having this meeting. And I was in the corner observing this. So I wanted to just share this with you. I'm still praying about this, but I know this has significance and it may have significance for what's going to happen at the DNC. So this is why I'm sharing this with you now, because I'm sharing this with you before the Democratic National Convention happens. So this goes on record. So this dream and what I saw goes on record. So I would just, and it definitely wasn't Michelle Obama at the table, although that's not off the table, but she was definitely not the one at the table. So just keep that in mind and pray about it, because it's just, you know, there's something to that. Sometimes things that we think are so simple are actually quite deep. And we just have to, pray and we have to seek the Lord and we just have to wait on him. So that's what I'm doing with this right now. Now, the color of his pantsuit, which I believe was gray, could have significance also. So just keep that in mind as well. But whatever was going on in there, whatever type of meeting and discussion was going on, they didn't want not a soul to hear. So keep that in mind. Not even was there security in the room. Okay, so that's another important fact. There was absolutely no security with them in this room. So just keep that in mind as well. Okay, so I just wanted to share that with you briefly and move on from there. I will continue to pray about it. If the Lord shows me anything else, if anything else comes up, I will absolutely share it with you. But, you know, this is just, I'm saying this ahead of the DNC. So I wanted to talk to you about that as well. Were we able to get the clip? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's play this. All right. We're going to go back to this 11-minute speech now. So I want to play for you. Our team is going to play for you this clip because I want you to hear this.
I ran for president 4 years ago because I believed and still do that the soul of America was at stake. The very nature of who we are was at stake. And that's still the case.
There it is. It's a battle for the soul of America. The soul of the nation is at stake. Yes, because they want to enslave it. And right now, that enslavement is in grave danger of losing its grip and of them losing their grip to enslave it. Right now, that is in grave danger because every plot they have tried has backfired on them. The lawfare, the assassination. You know, you don't say it's time to put a bullseye on somebody's back, you know, and then this happens. I mean, that's just way too coincidental. And so one plan after another has failed. So plan C was now to make him, I called it plan B, but it's probably really plan C, is to make him now and force him to step aside. And now you have Kamala Harris parading herself around like she's the nominee when nobody's nominated her yet. Joe has endorsed her. Nobody's nominated her. They haven't had their mini primary at the DNC. She hasn't officially been given anything. And I don't believe legally she can use the campaign funds that Joe Biden has because she's not the official nominee. So all of that money now, their war chest is tied up and they can't use their war chest now. And they can't use it because she's not the nominee. So it's interesting how this happened, how all of a sudden all of that cash in a way got tied up. So that's something else interesting to talk about and just mention as well. I also wanted to tell you this. I'll tell you another reason why this is happening. If we go back to January 2023, a golden statue resembling Ishtar or Ashtoreth is raised atop the New York City Appellate Courthouse, with the headline that said, "Move over, Moses and Zoroaster. There's a new female lawgiver in town." That was that spirit's announcement that it was going to try to work through a female to raise up to the highest seat in the land, because that statue was raised above the law. So it was placed, that was the symbolically it being placed above the law 7 years after the Arch of Baal is placed on New York City soil. Ashtoreth, Ishtar, is the counterpart of Baal, the female counterpart. And so that was that spirit's announcement, right? That was that announcement of that spirit that worked through Athaliah, right? And worked through Jezebel. There it is. Thank you very much. Move over, Moses and Zoroaster. Manhattan has a new female lawgiver. And it's a golden idol, right? It's the golden calf of Ashtoreth's that's raised above the courthouse of the law. And so this happens January of 2023, right? So we go to January 2024. That's 12 months, right? And then February, March, April, May, June, July. Another 6 months. That is 18 months later. We see what we're seeing unfold before our very eyes. Now, in the Jewish culture, 18 has to do with life. The number 18, I believe, has to do with life. So it's interesting that it's 18 months later. You can also look at 12 months plus 6 months. 12 meaning government and rule, 6 being the number of man. Man wants to be raised up above the law to take over. So you can look at it as that way as well. But that was the announcement that this was coming. When that statue in New York City, where all of the indictments, many of them were coming down against President Trump, raised itself up above the judges, that was the announcement that that spirit was going to try to work through a deceived female counterpart to raise itself up and plop it tiny in the highest seat in the land. And this is exactly what we're watching happen, because in the realm of the spirit and the kingdom of darkness, they will announce their plans in one way, shape, or another before they do them, because they're that deceived and they're that boastful that they will announce it. That was the announcement to the nation that that spirit of Ishtar was coming in, was led in, and now is going to try to ascend to take over the highest seat in the land. And Ishtar is another name for Esther. Esther was actually named, given that name, having to do with Ishtar, okay? So it has to do somehow with that name. So when that spirit of Ishtar arises, that means, I learned this from Lou Engel, an Esther has to arise. That spirit that the Lord poured into Esther to face the one that was trying to destroy her people, Haman, and that backdraft, that political backdraft happening, and it destroying him and his family and rescuing the Jewish people from complete obliteration. That's because the Lord poured his spirit into Esther, and Esther rose up. So when you see Ishtar attempting to rise up and take over the highest seat in the land, you're going to see that spirit of Esther rise up to challenge it. That spirit that God poured into Esther, you're going to see that. So this is what we see happening before our very eyes. Baal attempted in 2016, when that arch plopped itself on New York City soil, because New York is the carotid artery to Washington, D.C. It literally is the carotid artery. It pumps and feeds D.C., its lifeline, and a lot of the resources that it needs. And it runs down the East Coast, this vein, to D.C. The Lord is going to pinch that artery. That artery is about to very soon, and in a very unusual way, get completely pinched, because that spirit announced itself from New York. You see, the reason why you see these things keep happening in New York is because when you go back to the Revolutionary War and the Declaration of Independence, New York abstained from signing the Declaration of Independence for almost 2 months. They were the last to sign it. That opened a window for the enemy to plant seed for 2 months. George Washington gave his acceptance speech from Federal Hall in New York City and warned America that if they ever turned away from God, he made the covenant between America and God from New York, and warned America if they ever turned from God, that God would turn from them. The battle for abortion started in New York. The battle to take prayer out of schools started in Hyde Park, New York. Do you see the pattern? This is why in 2016, that Arch of Baal was placed in New York before the election. This is why that statue of Ishtar, Ashtoreth, whatever you want to call her, was raised above the New York City courthouse. Above the law, there's a new female lawgiver in town. And this is why you see this now. This is exactly what is happening. This is exactly what's going on. And this is exactly the ancient spirit and demon. And I could prove it to you in another way. Because Ishtar, her main temple was in Nineveh. The way they worshipped Ishtar in Nineveh. Well, first of all, let me preface by saying this. When Jonah came to Nineveh to pronounce destruction on it in 40 days, days before Jonah arrived, a full solar eclipse happened over Nineveh. So when Jonah arrived and pronounced this and announced this, they took this very serious. This is the year we had a full solar eclipse over America that passed through more than 8 cities named Nineveh in all of North America, including New York. New York was one of the full solar eclipse spots. Nineveh, New York. So this statue raises itself atop the New York City courthouse, right? About a year and 3 months before this eclipse that passes over Nineveh. Ishtar's main temple was in Nineveh. The way Ishtar was worshipped is men would dress up as women. They would consider themselves non-binary and take part in homosexual practices. So you saw the rise of transgenderism over the past few years start to spread like wildfire, and how they're sterilizing kids and convincing them that they're men when they're really women and they're women when they're really men. That's Ishtar. That's how you know this is the ancient spirit at work that has paved the way with transgenderism and now is trying to take over the highest seat in the land. And this is why you have to pay attention to these things, because you know how to pray and petition the courts of God about these matters of this nation. Because in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it says, if my people, not the world, not the corrupt, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. He will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, three things. We do three things, the Lord will do three things. And that's what we need right now. Because Nineveh humbled itself. And they were spared. 100 years later, because we're in a 100-year cycle year, 100 years later, Nahum prophesies total destruction against Nineveh. Because they completely rebelled. And they completely went backwards. And Nahum, 100 years after Jonah, prophesies their total destruction. And I'm going to read to you that in a minute. But Nineveh, he does this, Nahum, right? 100 years. We are in a 100-year cycle of our own. Because in 1924, the Olympics were in Paris, France. 100 years later, in 2024, the year of the eclipse that passes over all those Ninevehs, the Olympics are in Paris, France. So this is truly the valley of decision for America. This truly is right now the valley of decision for America. And I'm going to read to you about Nahum. I'm going to go to that chapter three. Nahum 3, okay, I want to read this to you. This is probably how we'll end. Woe. Now, when in the Old Testament it says woe, it means cursed, okay? Woe to the city of blood, guilty of murder and mayhem, it says in parentheses, completely full of lies and pillage. Her prey never departs alive. The noise of the cracking of the whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheel, galloping horses and the rumbling and bounding chariots. Horsemen charging, swords flashing, spears gleaming, many slain, a mass of corpses. This is what it says. The horsemen stumble over them. All because of the many acts of prostitution of Nineveh, the prostitute, the charming and well-favored one, the mistress of sorceries who betrays nations by her acts of idolatry and families by her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will lift up your skirts over your face, and I will let the nations look at your nakedness, O Nineveh, and the kingdoms of your disgrace. I will throw filth on you and make you vile and treat you with contempt and set you up as a spectacle. And it will come about that all who see you will shrink back and run from you and say, Nineveh is completely ruined. Who will grieve for her? Where will I seek comforters for you? Are you better than Thebes, which was situated by the waters of the Nile, with water surrounding her, whose defense was the sea, whose wall consisted of the sea? Ethiopia was her strength, and Egypt too without limits. Put and Lubim were among her helpers. Yet she became an exile. She went into captivity. Her young children, not nice things were done to them, I'll just say that. At the head of every street, they cast lots for her honorable men. At the head of every street, what did they do? They cast lots. First of all, that has to do with witchcraft, casting lots when it's outside Yom Kippur and the high priest takes lots for the goats. When Haman cast lots, it had to do with divination. So they cast lots for her honorable men. They're casting lots to kill them. And all her great men were bound with chains. Oh, what did they do? What did they do to President Trump? They bound him with chains. They arrested him. They put him through all this lawfare. You too, Nineveh, will become drunk with the cup of God's wrath. You will be hidden. You too, Nineveh, will search in vain for a refuge from the enemy. All your fortresses are nothing but fig trees with ripe figs. When shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, your people are as weak and helpless as women in your midst. The gates of your land are open wide to your enemies. Fire consumes the bars across your gates. The gates of your land are open wide to your enemies. You know what that is for us? Our border. The border gate is open wide, where they're letting all sorts of nefarious people and people that are filled with the demonic and people that want to cause terrorism across the border. The gates of your land are open wide to your enemies. Fire consumes the bars across your gate. Draw water for a long continued siege. Strengthen your fortress. Go down to the clay pits. Trample the mortar. Prepare the brick kiln. But there, the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you down. It will devour you as the locust does. Multiply yourself like the creeping locust. Multiply yourself like the swarming locust. Okay. It will devour you like the locust does. What if we had plagues of this year? Insects. Gypsy moths ravaged New York and our vegetation. You add trillions of cicadas descend towards the middle of the nation. You've had all of this going on. You have increased your traitors more than the visible stars of heaven. The creeping locust strips and destroys and then flies away. Your guardsmen are like the swarming locusts. Your marshals are like the hordes of grasshoppers. Settling in the stone walls on a cold day, when the sun rises, they fly away. And no one knows the place where they are. Your shepherds are asleep, O king of Assyria. Your nobles are lying down. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and there is no one to gather them. There is no relief and healing for your hurt. Your wound is incurable. All who hear the news about you clap their hands over you. For on whom has your unceasing evil not come continually? That is Nahum chapter 3. And it is titled, I'll show you. I'm going to hold my Bible up. Yep. Ready? Nineveh's complete ruin. That is what that chapter is titled. And that chapter is pertinent to now in this 100-year cycle that we are in. So just take note of that, because Ishtar is directly associated with Nineveh, because that is where her main temple was. In fact, in a province in Turkey today, there is still an inscription that says, basically, may Ishtar turn you into a woman. Mm-hmm. You can look it up. It's in Turkey to this day, in a province in Turkey. It's there. And we rebuke that in Jesus' name. You know, especially if they're talking about men. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. But I'm saying this stuff is ancient. And it is rearing up, and this is how it is. And this is where the people of God have to raise up and bear the standard. And oh my goodness, Bixby is making a guest appearance who never ever, come here. Hi, cutie pie. Yep, Bixby's here, everyone. He's decided he wants to be seen. So he looks like half his bangs are cut off and he's got one eyebrow. That's how his fur is. But it's for the people of God to raise the standard and carry that standard and wear the yoke and allow God to steer us as the ecclesia, as the body of Christ, to be salt and light, to be a piercing voice of truth amongst the noise of chaos, lies, deception, confusion, and debauchery. Oh, there's boots too. They are all coming in. Let me tell you, they must feel the anointing, because all the animals that normally don't come in here are coming in here. to be that voice right now. This is what we have to be. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Behold, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, says the Lord of hosts. We are meant to raise the standard because we are the standard. The people of God should be the standard right now in the nation. And I'm going to say this because I'm being prompted to do it. I want to say something briefly in closing about the RNC. I understand the RNC is not a church. I understand it's not a Christian event. I understand those things. However, when the hand of God single-handedly just saved your candidate, the last thing you want to do is spit in God's face. And having someone go on stage and offer a prayer to another God that they call the Most High God, and having some of the people that spoke, there's a way to maintain your personal belief without becoming like the other side. Because if you become too much like the other side, people don't have a choice anymore. They don't. And you don't want to turn and spit in the face of God when he just spared your candidate's life, single-handedly by his hand, put on a demonstration in front of the nation. And you want to have reverence for that, because it is not you shuffling and changing and trying to reach Democratic disillusioned voters by, you know, buckling on issues that appeal to them, that's going to win you this. It's God's favor you need first and foremost, and his protection and his unction that you are to be the president, that your candidate is to be the president. That's what you need first. A moment of God's favor can replace a lifetime of labor. And I understand in this country right now that gay marriage is legal, thank you to Barack Obama. I understand Roe v. Wade was overturned and abortion was kicked back to the states, and the states get to decide about abortion. I understand that. But you can still maintain personal belief that aligns with the will of God and reach across the aisle. Jesus Christ did it himself all the time. He maintained his personal belief. He maintained his alignment with God's will, with God's thoughts, with God's ways, and he was still able to constantly reach across the aisle. There's a way to do that. There's a way to say, you are welcome, but we have a standard here, and we're not lowering our standard to make all of you happy, but you are welcome. On Ark of Grace, if you're Christian and you watch, you're Jewish and you watch, you're Hindu and you watch, you're struggling with homosexuality, all are welcome to watch, but we have a biblical standard here, and I'm not changing that. We have a biblical standard, and I'm not changing that, because that's God's standard, and it's an amazing one. And if the RNC reaches too much across the aisle and dives headlong into the DNC, we're going to have a run DMC on our hands situation, is what we're going to have. And I understand it's not a church, and I understand he has to be everybody's president. He has to, whether you're Jewish, Christian, right, Hindu, you know, whether you're, you know, black, white, or Smurf blue, he has to be the president of the entire nation. I understand that. There's still a way, though, to maintain your personal beliefs and biblical standard and say, I understand what the law of the land is, but this is my personal belief that I hold, and I'm not going to change that personal belief. But you are welcome to sit with me and to talk, and for us to reach across the aisle, and for us to, you know, to come together somehow. There's a way to do that without becoming like them. And it takes the wisdom of God to do it correctly. And I think what happens sometimes is the RNC gets lured into trying to reach Democratic disillusioned voters. So what they do is they cater to their issues. They cater to them. And they say, well, oh, we believe like you now too. Then how do you call yourself the RNC? You're becoming more purple at this point. You're becoming like Grimace. Was Grimace from Burger King or McDonald's? The big purple guy that used to march around. Yeah, you're becoming like Grimace. That color purple. Because blue and red make purple. And when you mix it, you get a brand new color. And you can't say you're red anymore. And that's what's happening. I think some people are trying to dye the RNC purple. And you don't want to right now offend Almighty God that just saved your candidate before an entire nation. And turn and say, those voters are more important than the hand of God moving on our behalf. Because that can become idolatry very fast, and it's a slippery slope. Yes, you want to reach across the aisle. Yes, you want to those disillusioned people, you want to reach across and say, hey, we're willing to talk to you. We may not agree with everything you think, but we'll love you and we'll talk to you. And we'll talk it out with you. Instead, it's, we're going to put out the golden corral of issues as a buffet. And you guys can pick from whatever you want. And you're going to mix all that stuff, all that junk. And I'm saying they have to tread cautiously here with this. Very cautiously. They can still say we understand what the laws of the land are right now. We have a personal belief, but we understand what the laws of the land are, and we're willing to reach across and speak to these voters with dignity and respect. There's a way to do this. Do not fall for the trap that you need the voters more than you need the hand of Almighty God, because that is how elections are lost. That is how they're lost. So I just wanted to say that, because that has been on my heart to say about what I saw. And when you allow somebody to lift up the name of another God above Almighty God, Houston, we have a problem. And I understand it's not a church. I get it. But there should be some sackcloth and reverence when God single-handedly saves your candidate. And I understand they had some pastors at the RNC speak. I understand that. But I'm saying there has to be a cautious treading right now. Otherwise, they will fall headlong into a trap. Because Ishtar is attempting to raise above the nation. And you know who defeats Ishtar? The hand of Almighty God. His hand and outstretched arm. His judgment on scrolls that go into the earth. The joy of the Lord, the justice of Yahweh is what defeats that. And then you get the favor with the voters. That's what happens when you have God's favor. You don't want God to lift that covering in his hand of favor. Because his name has been blasphemed. Because like it or not, there was a promise made between America and God. And it's one nation under God. And it's in God we trust. And if that's what's still on our money, and that's what is above the judges and the courthouses, then the RNC should take that into consideration given the recent events that have just unfolded. Because their earthly, fleshly, political strategies are no answer for Ishtar, are no answer for these ancient demons, principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. It is no answer for it. The answer is Almighty God and Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the key. Question is, will they use it? That's the question right now. So pray for wisdom for the RNC. Pray for wisdom, because they need the favor of God more than they need anything else right now. Because this ancient demon ain't playing. She ain't playing. And their political strategies, she will run circles around them. It takes Almighty God and Jesus Christ to defeat that kind of evil. It absolutely 100% does. So I just wanted to share that with you. I just wanted to share that with you tonight. Okay, this is where we're going to end. Thank you, Sadie. She went back up on the chair. That was wonderful. Good girl. Okay, I'm going to put up at the end, because this really means something now, given the events that have happened. But we're going to put up Andrew Sorcini's information from Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Andrew is a friend of our broadcast. And do we have a picture of the coin? Here's the coin. Now, when this coin was designed, it was before the assassination attempt, before Biden stepping down, before all these things happening. And so on one side, there's a picture of Cyrus, which is prophetic, our shepherd Cyrus. It says Cyrus, faithful shepherd. And on the other side is the ark with the dove, with the olive branch coming back to the ark. And it says, in God we trust, saving grace, because God is our saving grace in this. And the Cyrus, faithful shepherd, is an ode to Isaiah too. I believe it's Isaiah 53, if I'm not mistaken. It's Isaiah 53. So these, even more now, have prophetic meaning in a way, given the events that happened. So you can contact Andrew for these. You could go to bh-pm.com. You can call the number on the screen. You can email Andrew at bh-pm.com and ask him about the Cyrus coin. So that's what this is, kind of. This is the Cyrus coin. And so we just wanted to put that up for you. Let me see here. It could be. It's in the 50s, I know for sure. Yeah. It's in the 50s, in the early 50s, I believe, in Isaiah, when it talks about Cyrus. So it's an ode to that as well. I was looking around for it. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalm 123, 34, 35, 51, created me a clean heart, O God. Ephesians chapters 1 and 3 from the Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. I recite those scriptures every day in the first few pages of that book. And the Lord's Prayer. We encourage you in the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus told his disciples to pray that way. We should be praying that way. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Bixby and Sadie, say goodnight for the evening. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your evening. Thank you to our team for coming on with us tonight and go and trooping it out here after we witnessed what we witnessed. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll be back on soon. God bless. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together. And we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord, because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rafa today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.